Off the Ball. GAA.
And any team that has David Clifford, you know, has another chance of winning. You know, I wouldn't have said Armagh were at a back-to-back level, but they're answering all the questions. They're ticking all the boxes.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello and welcome to the LOI pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle with you this week and for the next 2 weeks, because Nathan is on his holliers. Still hasn't recovered from his trip to Galway there last Friday, I believe. The League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Now, one striker slides away at Bohemians, but only after Drogh say whatever as their old player rocks up at Dalier. Galway United striker is heading all around the world. Some might say Sligo Rovers are doing the best business in the transfer window, and there's a bit of gas panic around Richmond Park as results fail to improve. Will it be Shamrock and Roll Rovers popping the champagne supernova? Shells bells, lads. Vinnie Perth and Gareth McLean, are you with me?
What's a crack?
I threw in an AC/DC one there at the end. I hope nobody copped that one. But anyway, what a week we've had, as ever, in the League of Ireland. So many stories to talk about. And this Friday night's live and exclusive national radio commentary will be coming from Inchicore. St. Patrick's Athletic entertain Bohemians, and it's a massive game for both clubs. I'll be on the mic alongside the former Saints striker Owen Doyle, and we'll have a look at that game and all the rest of the ties taking place at the weekend. There's been a lot going on, as I said, this week, fellas, but I did want to start by looking at Saturday's game, Sligo Rovers versus Shamrock Rovers. John Russell, he's been doing some great business during the transfer window. James McManus and Ryan O'Kane have gone into the showgrounds on loan. Vinnie Perth, I think you'd know Ryan pretty well, but two very good signings there, it must be said.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a great opportunity for Ryan to go and play. I don't think the Shelbourne sort of system necessarily suited him in terms of the way he played, because Ryan is an out-and-out winger, and you think of Sligo Rovers last year, what made them very good was, I suppose, Will Fitzgerald on one side and Simon Power on the other side. So you imagine John Russell is looking to go back to that in terms of giving him the pace of Ryan O'Kane and the skill he has in the one-on-one dribbling, and Will Fitzgerald on the other side. And you wonder, is Elding got anything to do with that in terms of hopefully they can hold on to him, and will be a slightly change of positions in terms of what they're looking to do. So disappointing for Ryan O'Kane. It hasn't gone really well for him, because he was a talented young player all the way through, and I just think he went to a club that the system didn't suit him. And it's funny, it just shows you, he played so well against Shelbourne last season. Every time he played against Shells, he was really, really good. Duffer obviously felt that was important to bring someone like that in, and he would change how they played, but ultimately it hasn't worked out for him. And a similar story for McManus. I think he's a really, really good player. I think he'll add real talent into their midfield. He's been really unlucky at Bowles. Bowles, centre midfield, that I've been saying for close on 2 years, is as good as any midfield in the league, and it's just been difficult for him to get into the team. So great bit of business for them on paper. It has to happen now on the pitch, and but it feels like they've done a lot of good work.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of James McManus over the last couple of years. It wasn't that long ago he was being linked with the move to Leicester City. He has had some injury struggles in that intervening period, and it's taken him a while to get fully fit again. But he has played a handful of games this season, 12 in total. Just looking at his statistics there, what's he got? 59 games in total in the league. The experience that brings, and Ryan O'Kane, even though they're young players, Gareth, John Russell, you know, this is really astute stuff, I think, from him, because he's sticking with lads that are very talented footballers, maybe haven't played at their best for the last while. And maybe I'll leave McManus out of that, because when he has played this season, he's been really, really good. And he is in the mould of a Dawson Devoy, gets on the ball in the middle of the park and spray passes around. But himself and Ryan O'Kane, they'd probably feel as well, they've a point to prove. So he's kind of signing nearly the kind of perfect players that Sligo Rovers need in a relegation battle.
Yeah, and the best thing about that as well, he plays the perfect style for both players. He plays a passive, progressive style of football at Sligo, and he's got other players that play the same way. But it's a perfect mould, you say. It's young, it's hungry, point to prove. These players have been, as you say, it hasn't worked out at Shells, at Bowes for one reason or another. But these boys have proven at the Premier Division level that they can play week in, week out, and they can turn it on. So it'll be very interesting, especially McManus. I think that's the one. James McManus is the one that was missing for me in Sligo. I know people were talking about at centre-half. They've got a little bit of a void now with Reece Hutchinson going back to Crewe at left-back. But for me, the centre midfield was pivotal. If you can't build up through the six or through the eights with all that creative talent in front of you, we see how well Owen Eldon's doing. 8 goals. You've got Will Fitzgerald, 6 assists. They're really threatening up there, but they can't be living off scraps. They need to be living off good passes, somebody who's knitting it together from fullbacks, from centre-halves, through the centre of the park and up into them as well. So brilliant signing for both players, Ryan and James, but also for the management team at Sligo. But he does it every year. Every year he gets cleaned out. 7-8 players leave, whether they go back to the original clubs or they move on to other teams. He just keeps bringing in young, hungry players, and it suits them down to the ground.
Yeah, would you say John Russell is a good coach of players, Vinny? Do you get that vibe from watching Sligo Rovers over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's that modern way of playing. There's a lot of short passes, and players now seem to like playing that way. A lot of short passes, possession-based team. But at the same time, as I said, when you go back to last year, Simon Power and Fitzgerald and the wings in particular were really exciting football. I like that type of style of football. If there was one thing I'd like to do with Sligo, a little bit different, is maybe progress the ball forward a little bit quicker. Sometimes I think they take too long on the ball and can get robbed and don't penetrate enough for the style of players they have. So they've got so much talent forward. I think they could move the ball forward a little bit quicker. That doesn't mean going direct, but so many players have come to Sligo and improved themselves and improved their standing in the game, and that has to be a result of whatever influence the manager has on them, the sort of ethos in Sligo and the sort of culture that's there. So John has to take huge credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you'll take a lot of credit for the last 4 matches as well, Gareth. They beat Waterford. Fair enough, they lost 1-0 to Drogheda United, then away from home, and then beat Galway United before getting that brilliant draw against Bohemians. So going into this Shamrock Rovers game, you know, they'll be feeling confident. They've got a couple of new players there as well. Like, he might fancy getting a point or maybe even 3 against Shamrock Rovers on Saturday night.
And they always play well, Steve-O, against Shamrock Rovers. And I always talk in this podcast about styles. Sligo style always suits Shamrock Rovers, and Shamrock Rovers style suits Sligo. It's just a straight shootout of football and talent. And Sligo, that's the beauty of them. They will go up against the best football inside in the country, top of the league, cruising to victories bar the blip against Bowes. And they'll go, we're going to go toe-to-toe. And John Russell gives his team that confidence. And even with Vinny saying, I actually think that they do get the ball quickly forward quickly, just because of the pace that.
We've got a dodgy link there with Gareth. We'll come back to him in a moment. We get that sorted out. Vinny, just on Shamrock Rovers, like, they've got European football now to be thinking of, something you know all about as a manager when you're trying to manage an elite side, prepare them for Europe. You're also dealing with league fixtures as well. And look, I know, obviously, playing the extra games in May and June, that's kind of made things a little bit easier. But what does Stephen Bradley, what I suppose I'm getting to here, is does he have a European team and does he have a domestic team?
Yeah, that's a difficult one to answer. There's a yes and no element to that. I mean, all your best players want to play the European games. All your players want to be involved with them. But there's certain players that are suited to European football. There's certain players that are more suited to domestic football for whatever reason. It's just is what it is, whether that's somebody that's quicker, somebody that can keep the ball in Europe. You've got to keep the ball for longer periods than you do domestically. So there will be an element of that. And also, I think the modern way you play and coach, and also the way we've seen Stephen Bradley do it, is depends on the opposition. There's a time and a place for certain players. you look, if he had his time again against Bowles, go back there a week or two, he may not have started the same team, because probably the gap between Aaron Green and the rest of the pitch was too big. So there's certain times where you'll pick more on the opposition, I would say, if you're Shamrock Rovers, as opposed to just European football. So the certain, what I mean by that is the certain games in Europe that will be just very similar to a domestic game, depending on the opposition. So the mixture of both, I think people overanalyze that sort of European stuff. I think the next month is quite kind to the Irish sides because of the work that's done playing the Monday night games over the last few weeks. It only really affects teams later on. And I think Rovers are at the stage now where European football doesn't really affect them. I think the players love being involved with it, their management love being involved with it. And you won't see them complain having to play, you know, a game every 3 or 4 days. That's the price of success. And hopefully Rovers go deep and they have that headache in Europe.
I need to get both of your views on this, because I've heard it spoken about elsewhere. Does this thing of, you know, front-loading the fixtures in the first half of the season to help the European teams, is it time to end it? Is it time to just say to European teams, look, you know, you're in Europe, you've qualified for Europe, you've got to play, as every other, most European leagues do, you play your game on a Wednesday or a Thursday and your game in the league on a Sunday. Because, like, you even look at the draws that some of the Irish teams have got there, it's against teams that are in a closed season, so they have an advantage already. There is a feeling maybe that this, it kind of skews our own league title race then, because when you've got teams that have played so many games, you can create this gap. Maybe a team might go 11-12 in front or ahead at the top, and then that kind of, I suppose, skews our own Premier Division.
Yeah, I think it's a really important point you made about the opposition. Believe it or not, I don't think the first round games are where you need that extra day. It used to be that because it was so important just to win one game in Europe. But it's actually in the next month and 4 weeks' time, but it is important that we look after our European teams. And the problem is, when that comes around, so for example, if Rovers in third round or fourth round Conference League, trying to get back into the Conference League group stages, because obviously Shamrock Rovers aren't going through the Champions League route, or whether it's Shells have removed into that, then in those 4 or 5 weeks' time, this is where the problem comes, because unless you're drawn, so if you're away on a Thursday and you're away on the following Thursday, you're not entitled to that game off in the middle of it. And also the challenge for the FEI is, at that stage, there's no room for manoeuvre, where Rovers don't really need a hand in the first round or two, I don't think. And the problem is they've got loads of time to prepare for them, and then we put Rovers under pressure in the playoff games or even in the group stages. So I think you need to help teams out is the answer to that, but I think we're helping them out at the wrong times. We should keep a weekend or two in reserve if they get the second or third or fourth round of these European ties.
Yeah, because Rovers are even throwing in a friendly match, I see, on the 11th of July against Glenavon. Gareth, what's your views on that?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with the front end. And at the end of the day, it comes down to commercials. You look at how lucrative the European tournaments and prize money has been to all teams that have been involved over the last decade. You have to help them out as much as you can. And as Vinny said, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to play a lot of games. But as a league, until our league gets to a certain level where the prize money for winning the league goes way, way, way up, then we have got to help our clubs generate revenue, whether it be through sales of tickets, whether it be merchandises, or whether it be European money. The FEA have got to accommodate them as best they can so that they can go as deep as possible. And they've done that by changing the season round, but we've got to keep helping them out. We can't take anything for granted. I know Vinny's saying there about the first two rounds. You get a difficult tie in the first round, you need all the help you can get, because you don't want to be hitting that first hurdle and getting knocked out, especially if it's in the Conference League or the Europa League. Champions route is a wee bit different, but we've got to do as much as we can, and the FEA have got to help us.
Yeah, but you can't have 4 weeks off, Gareth, or five, you know what I mean? If you're going to go four rounds into playoffs, which we think there should be at least two Irish teams in the playoff, you can't have 4 weekends off. So I'm just saying there has to be a balance. I just think teams like Rovers probably are better serve by having them later when the real money's on the table. And I want to pull you up on one thing. I think a lot of people use this argument about winning the league is only worth X amount. I think it's about time we gave the FEI a little bit of credit in the bank. And yes, it's coming through UEFA. Winning the Air League now is worth a minimum of 1 million to a club. 1 million. Thereabouts. You get 120 or whatever it is now. I think that prize money might have went up slightly. You're getting just under 900 grand to play Champions League football without even winning a tie. So, yes, it's not coming all out of the FEI's pocket, but winning the league now is worth about a million to clubs.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
It's a fair point. I think a lot of people would argue it though as well, Vinny, that it's, you know, that the money that is given up by the organisation running the league isn't enough, you know. So, but I do take your point. Yeah.
And I agree with you, Vinny, on the prize money, absolutely. But that prize money is only there by how well the teams have been doing in Europe for the last 10 or 15 years. Mm. So we need to keep that standard. And the way that we keep that coefficient high in that standard and get as many teams through to European group stage as possible is by giving them the opportunity to do that. And I agree with you, you can't give them a whole lot of time off, but the FAA have got to work with them. And that's where the communication is key.
Just a quick one, John McGovern, has he been on your radar at all? Gareth's, I suppose, in line to start making an impact with Rovers now once the transfer window's open.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to hit the ground running. He's been playing a lot of games. He's not going to have to do a pre-season or get up to speed. Listen, there's going to be levels. We know that. He's been playing down under 20 Gaelics. He's going to be fit as a fiddle. We see Gaffney coming on and getting a goal last week. I hope they're going to start drop feeding him in. I think it's more of a long play for Rovers. I don't think this guy's the finished article. He's raw, he's pacey, and he's direct. But he's got a lot to learn, and it's a big step up for him. But I'm excited to see what he can do.
Quickly then on to Saints against Bows. Friday night, Rovers versus Rovers games in the Showgrounds on Saturday night. The other four on Friday night. Saints, Bows, and of course, it's what a week it's been for Bohemians. They sign Douglas James Taylor. Lise Mousset is gone. Hoo-ha over the shirts. And it's been quite the week for everybody at Dalymount Park. Douglas James Taylor, Vinnie Perth. Does he suit Bohemian style of play?
The recession is over, Steve-O. The recession is over.
Well, listen.
What does that bring the budget to now? They must be in line with Derry now, Steve-O.
Listen, Galway United have the Comer brothers. Bohemians have the Gallagher brothers.
Yeah. We get the
boil in
now. Poor
Elf Balls. Well, no, I'll just say the Gallagher brothers, I think, is a better partnership there. Anyway, back to our own Gallagher brothers here. Vinny, what's your thoughts on DJT?
I have to say, I think, look, on Slag and Balls, I think the business he's done this week is brilliant. I think the signing is exceptional. I think it's what they need. I think it suits their style of play. And I think that sort of... I love their false nine. I mean, I think a lot of people have commented on and seen the piece I've done on that false nine. I think it's really, really good. And it's been very successful for them. And they need to be careful not to come away from that too quickly and use it in certain matches. But I do think Taylor can do a mixture of all of them things. I think he suits balls. I think he's got high energy. He's obviously a decent finisher. He may be one of the final links to make sort of link that sort of brilliant midfield play they have. And that includes some of the wide areas and that centre forward. Because balls aren't scoring enough goals, I would say, to be champions. For as good as they've played, they've left some points behind them. And the biggest challenge, and I'm sure Reynolds will say this, is they haven't put teams to bed. Sometimes they've been, like, you go back to how good they were against Shamrock Rovers, they're absolutely outstanding. But it was still, game was in the balance for a long period, and because they should have put Rovers to bed in that first half. So I think that's really good business. Genuinely, I hope no one ever takes what I say personally or slagging seriously. I think what they do is brilliant. I think the launch of the jerseys, and not just, like, there is other clubs who moan about it and slag about it, but it's just another bit of brilliance from them. Fair play to them. Everything they do within reason has been exceptional. You've got to give huge credit to people on and off the pitch for what's happening at Bowes at the moment, because it's all positive and the only people that are moaning about it are people like me slagging and opposition supporters, because that's our jealousy, a little bit jealous of what they're doing and how good they're doing it. So best of luck to them. I hope they make as much money as possible out of the jersey, and I hope this signing is what it seems to be on paper, really positive.
Gareth, just on James Taylor as well, obviously had that brilliant goal scoring run in the cup win for Drogheda last season, but you wouldn't say he's prolific in the league. He scored 8 and 29, I think it was. Now, is that down to Drogheda United's style of play? And will he get more chances and therefore do you think score more goals with Bohemians?
And that is a million-dollar question, Steve-O. You would like to think that the amount of chances that Bohs are going to create for him, he's going to score goals. One thing that we can look at, and he's a great finisher. Look at the goal he scored 2 weeks ago where he just opened up his body, Henri-esque, and just put it under the corner. There's no question in his finishing ability. He's athletic. He's incredibly good in the air, which I don't think people realise. So when you're thinking about kickouts, if you think about Bohs, if someone presses them high, and doesn't allow them out for the short pass, then they've got him now. Don't get me wrong, Colin Whelan's big and he's good in the air, but Douglas Taylor has got a serious leap on him. The thing with me and Bohs, and I'm not going to put a damper on your dream, Steve-O, is pace in behind. That's the one thing that I would like to see people still going beyond him. And the false nine works well only when you're punching holes in that. But I think he's a great sign, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it all works out. There's no real competition. And the big thing for me, and you look at Bo's recruitment over the last 3 or 4 years, we've talked about it multiple times on the podcast, age profile and League of Ireland profile. It's perfect. 23 years of age, played in the league, good record, not unbelievable record, but he's the perfect age profile. Now you have got mid-20s all over the pitch at Bo's. It's exciting times.
Yeah, but still, as Vinny said as well, the goals is an issue. 27 goals for Bohemians. Derry City above them at 28, but Rovers out way out in front on 42. Just on Pat's, Vinny, 2 wins in 11 matches for Stephen Kenny's team. And like speaking of centre forwards, Aidan Keane's confidence looks like it's affected. The whole team's confidence just looks like. And this is the strange thing, I think, for a Stephen Kenny team. Like, this is what he's meant to be good at, is making players feel good about themselves and sending them out onto the pitch and beating teams with just a real joy de vivre.
Yeah, all of them things. I don't know how to answer other than to say to you, as a club, they've backed the manager to the hilt. He seems to have got everything he wants. The bills have gone up to the roof, you would imagine, in terms of what they're doing and the level of professionalism that's in the club now. So Stephen has been backed. On the pitch, it's not working out. There's been a huge amount of chopping and changing going on. They have had injuries, but every team has had injuries, more or less. There still feels like they're searching for the right players. Forrester has been a huge loss in that midfield, but even with Forrester back, it feels like they need some cover in there. They've spent heavily or recruited heavily in terms of the first team squad, and it doesn't feel like they've got the balance of that right. There's absolutely a lack of confidence. They've gone from being everybody's favourites to win the league, with the exception of myself, of course, to the manager saying, well, win the league. It's very early to win the league title. Never heard him talk like that. I find that strange.
Can I pull you up there as well, Vinny, because it is strange to hear Stephen Kenny saying something like that. But as well, like, you guys are playing under him. Was there ever a point where things weren't going well as a team, where confidence was low, that he did something to change it? Has he lost that bit of magic? Has the Ireland experience, has that affected him, do you think?
I don't know. I don't speak to him at all at this stage. I haven't, so I don't ask him them questions. When I worked with him, it didn't always go our way. We had that year against Cork where Cork dominated us, but ultimately we turned that around halfway through the season and found our rhythm again. I can't remember what the catalyst for that was. To be honest with you, I'd be making something up. And we were really good second half of the season in 2017, carried that into 18, where we dominated the league again and the cup and got back going again in Europe. That was it. That was a team in 17 in transition. This Pat's team doesn't feel like it's in transition, and feels like in many ways, there's a huge amount of work to be done to rebuild that squad, which is bizarre to think about that. I think they've got a few things wrong in-game situation. They've made a couple of changes that have been a little bit strange. They haven't found a settled best. Some people say Stephen works at his best when he's got loads of competition, loads of players. I don't agree with that. I think he's at his best when he sort of knows his best sort of 11. There's always one or two changes, but when he knows his best 7-8 players, I think he's at his best. And there's been too much shuffling and changing. And the results haven't been good enough. But look, this is the challenge with the league. They're two or three wins away from being back in second again. So I would say everyone on Pats felt they could push for a league title at the start of the season. They may be changing that rhetoric a little bit now. I think they've fallen way short of getting anywhere near winning the league title, and hasn't been a good season for them so far.
Yeah, I think they need to get one big result almost, you feel, and we could be sitting here in 10 weeks' time saying, wow, Pats have turned it around, they're competing with Rovers for the title. But like, it's just, I think this kind of game is probably made for them, Gareth, in a way.
Well, this is that, but it's unbelievable, Steve. I watched them against Derry, and I came on this podcast and said last week, I'm looking forward to them playing Cork now. I expect them, if they have I played the same way against Derry as they did against Derry against Cork. I expected them to win comfortably. That wasn't the case. They had two shots on target. You look at the team that he started, loads and loads of attack and threat on that team. I'm blown away by what's wrong. I mean, Vinny's saying it there. One thing you mentioned there about Stephen, and I actually talked about this recently. See, when he was Derry City manager, I remember him coming in halfway through his tenure and turning around and going, right, we were getting beat at half time, and we'd lost the week previously, and he just came in and says, we don't lose two in a row. So he never really had a really bad spell when he was Derry City manager. So I don't know how he's going to react. This is probably the first really bad spell he's had in his League of Ireland career. So it'll be very interesting to see how he bounces back.
Well, just so you're not shouted at by people listening in, he obviously had a really bad spell at Shamrock Rovers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, we'll move on because we are tied for time now at this stage. Galway United have lost Moses Dyer. I think this one's been coming for a while. There was that clause in his contract. You just wonder how Galway United are going to get the goals that he was scoring to keep them, you know, where they now, 7 position, 29 points. They're still not way off third place there, so not completely out of the European reckoning. But that's a blow for them, Vinny.
Yeah, it's a big blow. And also in terms of how they played, and what he done was Dyer got helped him get up the pitch, and because he worked so hard, he took pressure off other people. And so I think that's a huge loss for them. What does that mean? We're going to find out. I mean, is Nashaw they signed? I think the small bits and pieces we've seen of him, he looks like he's going to be lively as well. I think Galway will be okay. I think John and Ollie are so experienced. They'll find the right way of playing against teams. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring one or two in. Again, just go and find something a little bit different from the market. They've been brilliant at that over a number of years. So I'd say watch this space with Galway. I think they'll be fine. They are difficult to play against. And they're that type of team, them and Waterford, where you could see them losing two or three games in a row but then winning two or three, and once you do that in their league, you're halfway within a shout of qualifying for Europe. So massive blow for them, but I think they've enough about them to get through that.
Yeah, just looking at Drogheda United's fixtures, Gareth, they play Galway at the weekend and then they have a 2-week break, then they play an FAI Cup match at home to Crumlin United, and then they're off again till the 1st of August when they play Bohemians at Daly Mount Park. Like, this European issue that they've had has caused so many problems for them, but this thing of players going to be sitting around for 2 weeks in between those two matches, Gareth, is not ideal for Kevin Doherty.
No, I don't think so, and it's not coming at a good time. Obviously, losing Douglas Taylor just won't go down well. It seems it's blow after blow. But listen, we've seen Kevin Doherty been written off times. They'll come back. To me, they've got enough strength and depth to be able to manage this, get back on to doing what they're really good at. And I don't expect them to... No, they're going to go against Galway.
bit of an issue with Gareth's line there. So, Finney, we might just get him properly there. Joey O'Brien, is he the man for Shells? He keeps getting asked and he won't give any definitive answer. Is he on trial now at this stage? Is it, give him a trial, wait till after the Linfield match, see how that goes and then decide.
Yeah, I think he deserves to be in charge. The challenge is, I mentioned this last week, and for whatever reason, nobody in the FAI wants to answer this question. Maybe you might get an answer over the next week, Steve. There is an issue around the license, and I don't know whether he's allowed. He's only got 60 days. He's not doing his pro license till next year. They've changed the rules for 1 year, so I know all about it. And then they've moved the back. You need to be on the course. So I don't know, is the honest answer. It's going to be difficult for him. It feels like he deserves a chance at it. It feels like a lot of us would like to see Joey in charge of Shelbourne. Just a hunch. I think Shelbourne wouldn't mind Joey in charge as well. He could do with a win. I think that would help him. I know with ease, just some of the noise. I don't think he's on trial, as you said, because I think people will know the body of work he's done. I don't think he was just a puppet under Damien Duff. I think he pulled a lot of strings, and a lot of players in that dressing room would have huge respect for him. Probably feel like the sound in the hearing, the players would like him in charge. So I hope that happens. But there is a major issue around the license, and they may have to bring somebody in under that sort of manager role, and Joey becomes a head coach role, which means that effectively whoever that is would have to stand front and centre come Champions League, would have to be the manager, would have to go to press conference, would have to stand on the touchline. So I just hope people realise how much of an important issue that is to UEFA, that whoever is running the team come Champions League football is on a pro licence course. You only have to be on it despite that rule change, as I said, in 19. So I think that I think we have to wait and see there. And we're not hearing loads of people linked to it. They haven't advertised the job as far as I know. I don't know, but I don't think they have. So feels like they're trying to work with the FAI, you'd imagine, to get Joey involved there.
Yeah, great guy, Joey. And he is doing well so far. And hopefully it keeps going well for him. We have to leave it there, Vinny, because our Derry City man, we've lost him. So we can touch on Derry City against Waterford maybe next week. And Shells, of course, playing against Cork City this weekend.
Just a quick question before you finish, Dave. Did you order is Oasis your genre? Or are you more of a Fontaine man?
I was at Porky Quave in 1996, Vinny, would you believe? And I remember to this day, they were great days. Great day. Wouldn't it be great to be young again, Vinny, wouldn't it?
The only thing I felt was missing was one of them. What you call those hats?
The fisherman's hat. Yeah.
That was the only thing missing from the regal. Just dropping it in there.
Well, listen, Vinny, we'll go off maybe shopping for hats after we finish up here. It's been great to have you on again this week, and thanks everyone for listening. It is, of course, Pats versus Bows on News Talk and the Go Loud app this Friday night, our live and exclusive National League commentary. Do log on to X or Twitter at 10 o'clock on Friday night. Cameron will be there with Johnny Ward and Shane Keegan for LOI Late Night. Thanks for listening. Chat to you next week.
The League of Ireland Pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.